All right, it is the 22nd of October, and another conference call here. Mary and I were discussing a little bit just before we started recording about if we've got a buyer for a rent-to-own that's got that's pretty well qualified as far as a down payment and everything, possibly going out and searching for a property that might work to assign to them. So we kind of spoke a little bit about, you know, whether or not should you just go out there and look for a property for nothing, or would you charge the buyer to start looking? And there's a few different ways to look at it. I had a buyer that was very well qualified for rent to own, and they were looking for a property on, they're pretty specific what they're looking for. So they wanted a house that was on at least a half an acre to an acre. Oh, sorry, at least an acre, I mean. And they needed a certain part of Yelm, and they wanted a kind of like a certain, they want like a really old house, small house. They need a larger house on an acre. So I actually decided to go and hit the title company and have them give me a list of all properties that are with, had at least 1 acre that were built after a certain year and were a certain minimum square footage. And so potentially what you could do is you can offer to say that you can charge them a marketing fee so that if they pay you, for you to be able to get marketing out, then you'll give them the first crack at any house that you have available. So that might be a way that you can get them to help fund your marketing. Now, I didn't get this person to pay me, but I did send a list I did send the mailings out, and I got a few calls. But ultimately, these guys changed their minds. So that was the thing that was kind of a bummer, is that I marketed in a specific area that I usually don't, and they ended up changing their mind. But you know, if you know they're looking for like in a certain area, and they're looking in a certain school district, or perhaps what you do is ask them if there's a certain neighborhood that they'd like to live in. What you could do is you could put bandit signs out at the exits of these neighborhoods, and that's actually one of the things I did. I found a neighborhood over in Yelm that all the houses were on pretty large lots. They're on all minimum 1 acre lots. And so what I did is I did a handwritten bandit sign that says, "I'm looking to buy a house in this neighborhood." And then I said, no realtors, please, and my phone number. And I think I got like 2 or 3 phone calls from just that sign in that neighborhood.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. And actually, back then, when I was doing it then, I was looking for a lease option, but all of the phone calls that I got were from people that had bought their house closer to the top of the market, so none of them had equity, and so I ended up having to pass on those, but that was before I kind of realized, before I learned that you can do these lease options, like long-term options, you know, for the mortgage balance.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, knowing what I know now, it might have made a difference. You should find out, call that buyer up and really interview them and see if they can tell you certain neighborhoods that they're looking in, the type of house that they're looking for. And you can say, "Hey, I'll tell you what, we've got a program. I'm happy to kind of look for houses, but if you want, we have a program where if, for a marketing fee, what we'll do is we'll go and, we'll contact owners of specific properties, and we'll order the list, and all you have to do is pay for the cost of that, and then you'll get first crack at any property, and then you can even say it would be refundable if you can't find it.
Sure, that would make sense,
You know.
Okay, all right, I see where you're coming from. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So have you been somebody getting called in your yellow letters?
Yes. Well, yellow letters, Mike, and I don't want to – I've also got another question because I had a few calls from the ads that I put into the little nickel, the ads which were, you know, low money down. Do you want to, you know, if you want to own a pretty house or, you know, I forget what the actual ad was. I wanted to ask you what to do with this. I mean, to me, this guy could buy his own place. He's disabled, and he gets he pays $2,700 a month.
Makes $2,700 a month?
He pays, let me see. He pays $2,700 a month. And I guess they actually pay it for him because he's disabled.
Okay, now what is this, for living expenses?
Yeah, for a place. And so 100% is paid. He said you can check. He said, you know, I the state of Washington actually pays. And you know that is sometimes the case, that they will actually pay more money if somebody is disabled. So the guy called me because of, you know, the stuff I had in the paper, and he'd like a small place in Kent. You know, he said the first floor obviously would be appreciated, but he said, you know, two beds and a bath. He'd like a washer, dryer, fridge, dishwasher. But he lost his driver's license a couple years ago, you know, so he wants to be close to groceries and buses. But you know, I mean, he'll go any place, and then he's got like $18,000, which he could put down. So to me, that doesn't sound like a lease option. That sounds like a purchase to me.
Does he have credit issues?
You know, I was at a conference, so I can't remember. It didn't sound like he had credit issues, actually. I got to call him back, but it sounded like he was actually fine with credit. So, I mean, to me, he should buy something, not do a lease on.
Well, if he has $18,000 down and he can qualify to purchase, then one of the things that you can do is you can ask him, hey, what if I can find a great a deal? Are you looking for something that's all ready to move in, or are you looking for a fixer? Where are you looking? And you could find a house from a regular seller that maybe you can negotiate not a deal at 65 cents on the dollar, but what if you got something at 80 or 85 cents on the dollar, which should be easier for you to negotiate and give him a kind of a deal, and you can make a what if you made an $18,000 wholesale fee?
Yeah, okay. All right, that makes it. He said he would like to cut his monthly in half to, you know, now it's $2,700. I think that's his, that's a good portion of the monthly.
So I'd be interested in finding out where it is. If they're, so it's he actually is paying a monthly payment on a house of $2,700.
That's what he said. It sounded like more of an apartment or something that he.
Well,
I think
that seems
he's
living in a Seattle penthouse.
Well, but remember, the state sometimes pays more, even though it's not a great place. I forget whose program it was, but the state will actually give money, and quite a bit of money sometimes, to subsidize what people are living in. I don't know if he's a vet or I don't know.
You might want to have him fill out like a lease purchase application.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
At least, you know, and what you can do is, and then get maybe a copy of his credit report, and then speak to a loan officer just to kind of figure out, hey, can this guy qualify to purchase? Or just, you know, you can just send them to the loan officer and have the loan officer do all that qualify.
Okay.
And
okay.
Find out if you can qualify, and then it, depending on if you can or can't, you know, your strategy is going to be different. But it sounds like he, either way, could be a good candidate for finding out what he's looking for, and then just start doing some marketing to those types of properties.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was just amazing to me. He's, you know, he's got so much money.
Yeah, and at that point, if he can qualify and he's happy with the deal at around 80 or 85 cents on the dollar, you put it out to reach and look for properties that other investors, and really expand your reach by maybe JVing with an investor who's got a place under contract.
Okay,
and that,
good idea.
Share
all
that
right.
Wholesale fee.
All right, awesome, Mike. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know quite what to do with that one.
So, but you said you're getting phone calls from Yellow Letter still?
Oh, yeah. I've got, you know, I didn't put them all out because I knew I was going to be out of town. I'm still getting calls from my yellow letters. I've got so many to follow up on. My new VA is giving me a lot of stuff as well. And I have probably another 1,500 I've got to put out, maybe even, yeah, I think it's about 1,500 that I have yet to send out. I can't send them out at once or I just will, I'll drown.
Yeah.
I'll drown in calls.
Well, you can send out maybe 200 a week or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I sent out 500 and then I figured when I came home. So what I was doing was I had, I think, 908, which were, I wouldn't say free and clear, but 30 years of ownership. And so I wanted to send out 250 of those and 250 of the other ones. So
sure.
Go through them. So, you know, kind of an equal distribution of the acts and the other stuff at the same time.
Okay.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
Did you hear an update from the gentleman down over there in Tacoma that we met with?
Still haven't heard back. I didn't want to. I mean, I know he's getting his tenants out, and so I didn't want to bug him. I mean, we've been in touch a number of times, so I don't feel that I'm losing him. Maybe if I don't hear anything by next week, I'll give him another call.
And that, I didn't expect anything to happen like really soon on it. I just was more curious than anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Cool.
Well, thank you.
So I guess for you, just getting those letters out and seeing what you can do for finding properties for those qualified buyers that you have. And what you should probably do, what I recommend is when you do your buyers list,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting people to let you know what they have available and what they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
Somehow tag or flag or put them on a different list. If you have any buyers that have a large down payment and that ultimately would be qualified and a pretty good qualified tenant buyer,
mm-hmm.
keep those on a separate list so that they kind of are on top of mind and that you can follow up with them more often over by phone and everything.
Okay.
So if you ever hear of any REAPS members or anybody else or get any properties, it's probably better when you get a property out of contract,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a better luck if you make a phone call to them before
okay.
you send out an email to your buyers list so that they have the feeling that they're being treated special, like they're getting special treatment. And you can say, you know, I've got this house. I'm doing the video tour. I'll be sending it out to my list in a few days, but I know that you're kind of looking for a property like this. So I wanted to give you a little head start. And would you want to see it before I put it out to the list? And that might give some urgency where if it's remotely something that it might be interested in,
yeah.
they might go, well, I better jump on it before the competition gets there.
Okay, good point. Great.
Well, good
job.
All right, Mary.
Those are good suggestions.
Okay. Chris, anything going on that you need help with?
Well, I spent a little bit of time for a phone call, taking a look on Craigslist for some of the lease options. And I know we've spoken about in your emails, talking about looking at Craigslist for lease with option to buys and talking to them and then seeing if we advertised in addition to them, then if we found a buyer, then maybe getting a different, getting paid for it basically. And
right,
I was wondering how. What other ways besides Craigslist and just emailing to your buyer's list, because I don't really have one yet, what other ways would we be advertising or could we advertise that would make
to find sellers?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean,
No. Sorry. To find buyers for the lease option.
Okay. Well, the best way to market is going to be your existing list, which you obviously need to build, someone else's existing list. So that would be, you know, if you had a property over in Kitsap County or even in King, South King, I've got buyers. So you go, hey, Mike, I've got this property. you know, you want to join the venture on it and send it up to your list, you know, that's great. But then you're gonna probably end up getting more phone calls just in the marketing you're doing. So I would probably say that signs is number one for me. I get more calls from signs than anything. And then number two is Craigslist. So, you know, just get the property and contract, throw a ton of signs out, get it on Craigslist, and then renew that listing as often as you can so you kind of keep it up on the top. But then utilize other investors' buyers' lists and just joint venture with them. And if they send it out to their list and they get a buyer, then, you know, whatever agreement you make with them, and you can do it with multiple investors. The only challenge I've had when I've had other people joint venture with my properties is sometimes if there's multiple ads put out there on Craigslist, and I've had cases where another investor has added a lot to like the assignment fee, and so they would advertise it for more money in different terms than I had it advertised, and it caused some confusion. I actually had a buyer who was very interested in one of my houses, but then ultimately said, well, you know what, how come I keep seeing this for all these different prices online? And he's like, this is really fishy, so I'm not interested anymore. And I was like, wow, that kind of sucks. So, you know, I would just make sure that if you're working on, like, say, a $5,000 wholesale fee, I would give an investor a flex option where if they found a buyer, they would participate in, you know, a certain percentage of that rather than having them add, you know, an addition onto what you've got it listed for. I mean, that would avoid the problem of having multiple properties or multiple listings at different prices and confusing people. And it might not be a huge deal, but it did kill it for one of mine, so I'm kind of gun-shy at that.
Okay. So, like, finding one that's, like, I've got one pulled up that's for sale, and then in the ad, it has lease with option to buy is available. So, like, for that one, I would talk to them, get probably the same, or see if I can get different pictures for the same property, and market it completely differently as completely with a lease with option to buy, and then set the price for what the down payment or assignment fee would be, let's say $5,000. And then when I talk to, let's say, you or some other person on the buyer's list, then they would share in that $5,000 with me.
Yeah, so let's role play. So let's say that you've got the house on Craigslist. You're looking for, you know, rent or rent to own, you know, $5,000 down, and $200,000 or something like that. What I would say is, you know, say, hey Chris, so I see you got this rent to own. It's you're asking what, $5,000 down and $1,200 a month?
Yes.
Okay. So are you're a real estate investor, or is this property that you lived in?
This is my primary residence,
but
I'm moving, so it'll be available very soon.
Okay. Can you tell me about the house? Is it three bedroom, two bath? Is that what I see?
That is exactly what it is. Three bed, two bath, 1,700 square feet. Nice neighborhood. It's got a 2-car garage, a nice porch in the back. Good property.
Sure. Okay. Well, my name is Mike. I'm a real estate investor. I'm looking for a house to buy. Would you consider selling it outright, or are you just looking to rent or rent to own?
Well, really, I'd love to sell it. Just the market's kind of low right now, so I was just planning on renting it until maybe the market picked up again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't want to let go of it at what the prices are now.
Okay. Are you flexible on your price at all? I mean, I actually own a lot of rental property. I own a lot of rent-to-owns. I'm kind of looking to get another one. You know, I would like to rent-to-own, but I'd ultimately put another tenant in the property. But, you know, I would pay you each and every month and manage the property and take care of the maintenance. But you know, 5,000 down, are you, if I could take care of all the maintenance, would you consider taking less than the 5,000?
Possibly. What do you mean by taking care of the maintenance? Like what are you offering?
Well, when I do rent to owns, I don't have the landlord to take care of any of the maintenance or the management. So I do that myself. So I do this as an investment, and I'm looking to buy another property. If you'd sell now, I'd be willing to make you an offer, but I couldn't pay the 200. But if I could pay you the 200 in say 3 years, would you be willing to come down on the down payment at all?
Oh, come down on the 5,000?
Yeah.
I guess I could. I mean, how quickly do you think we'd be able to take care of this? I mean, I'd really only want to be dropping the down payment if we were able to finish this up quickly, because I'm moving soon.
Well, I would be willing. I'd be able to pay the down payment as soon as I found my tenant. But I'll tell you what, Chris. If you know, I don't have to lock anything up right now. But if what if you just continue to advertise for another buyer, and if you found one first, then you know, of course, I'd step out of the picture. But if I found somebody beforehand, I would pay you the down payment immediately. So what I need to find out if this isn't going to work for me. I can't pay 5,000. Would you take maybe 1,500 down?
I probably wouldn't want to go much lower than 25. I mean, that's already half of it.
Sure. Okay. So are you talking about 2,500 total? So to move in, somebody paid 2,500 total?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, which by the way, it's 2,500 total. I'm this off script. That would be say 1,200 rent plus 1,300 down in my opinion. So what I'm looking at is if he'll take 2,500 to move in, what I might think of that as $1,200 first month's rent, $1,300 down, and I'd say, all right, well, Chris, I'd like to take a look at it. I'm not even sure if it's something I'd be interested in or not, but are you available tomorrow for me to come and look at it?
Yeah, sure, in the evening.
Okay.
5:30, fine?
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll see you at 5:30.
All right,
so you know, with the rent to own, what I just want to let them know is I'm an investor. You know, I own another rental property. I'm looking to buy more. I actually would love to buy his place outright. You know, I wouldn't be able to pay with his asking price, but if he needs to sell it for his asking price, if he's willing to give me the option to buy, I just want to see if he's flexible on that down payment. If he's not flexible on the down payment, it's, you know, I'm not going to be able to put anybody else in there and make any money, so it's not of interest to me. But if he's flexible on that, and he knows that I'm an investor, that I'd be looking to buy it from him. I'm going into this deal as doing a sandwich lease option. But when I get to the house and I look at it, what I'll try to do is I'll see if I can negotiate the down or the monthly payment down. And if not, I say, well, I'll tell you what, I may sublease it, but you know, I just may assign my contract that way. You know, you would get the full sales price that you're asking for and everything, and you know, I was getting an assignment fee, but you know, I'd do it that way. And if I could negotiate a lower monthly payment where there's potentially a good cash flow, so what if I can negotiate the payment down to say 1,000, and then I can advertise it for 1,300? That's $300 a month on a property that I control but don't have the ownership. So Chris, what I would do, let's pretend that you're a real estate investor, and so this is not like you're not a homeowner, but you've rented this property out, you've got maybe other rental property, and so what I'm looking to do, let's even say that you're a REITs member, okay? Well, you are,
yeah.
But I will approach it a little bit differently if I know that if you're an investor in your investment group. You know, I might talk like investor to investor, like buddy-buddy a little bit, and maybe do it differently. So let's role play that. So, hey Chris, I'm calling about your place on Craigslist. Is it still available?
Yeah, I've been putting on Craigslist for a little while now. I didn't really want to list it with an agent, but yeah, it's still available.
Okay.
What,
are you living in the place or is it a rental property?
It's a rental property. I've got a few properties in the area, and this one's just
excellent. Yeah, I'm a fellow investor myself. I'm looking to buy a place. Would you consider selling, or are you just looking to do the rent or rent to own?
Well, I'd love to sell, but I'm probably going to ask more than you'd be willing to pay, which I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to make our money somehow. But
sure. Are you buying another place? Are you buying anything else right now, or just keep holding on what you have?
I'm kind of taking a back seat on the investing for right now, but
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you ever looking to get back into it, have you heard of REAPS, the real estate investing group over here locally?
Yeah. I haven't been in a little while, but I'm a member.
Oh, really? No kidding. I've been a member since '03. So.
Oh,
well, cool.
Wow.
I don't know if you may have actually seen some of my posts. I have a lot of property, like rent to own property that I do. And actually, you know, truth be told, I'm looking. Reason I was interested in your place and seeing if that you could you'd sell it is I'm looking to buy something that I can throw a rent to own buyer in there. And have you had much luck selling rent to own?
I haven't tried rent to own myself, but I threw that out there that the lease with option buy is available on the Craigslist ad because I figured why not give it a go. No,
Do you have all the paperwork and everything, or do you kind of know how everything should be structured?
I know taking some money down to cover costs. It's really going to help out just the.
Money
down and most the monthly payments covering the mortgage is really my main concern with that.
Sure. You, I haven't seen it advertised on the REAPS message board at all. Have you put it on the REAPS board yet?
I haven't. It sounds like a good idea. I should probably get on that. But
yeah, you should.
Craigslist for now.
Hey, Chris, you know the other thing I was just thinking? If you want, I mean, I do a lot of these rent-to-owns. I'd be willing to, put your house. I've got a website. I advertise a lot of rent-to-own properties, and I've got a pretty good-sized buyer's list. I wouldn't even charge you or anything. You know, if you're interested, I can put it up, and try to sell it to one of my buyers. I mean, is that something that, would that help you out?
Well, I don't really want to, hand over all the marketing to you. I mean, I know you're a member of REAPS, but I'd still like to be able to at least advertise it myself.
You can do it yourself.
Quicker.
I'll tell you what, the only reason is, I've got more buyers than I have houses. So a lot of REAPS members, they've come to me and we've done a little joint venture and got a lot of the rent out and sold. So, I mean, you can tell me no, it's totally fine, but, I've got people that are looking in the area. You're asking for $5,000 down. Are you willing to, if you had just a really well-qualified buyer who had $2,000 down, is that something that you would you consider doing somebody with $2,000 down? Plus first month's rent, so they'd have maybe $3,200 upon moving?
I guess that might work.
Sure. Yeah, well, no pressure or anything, but I mean, if you want to continue advertising, but you want me to put the house on my website, I've got a lot of buyers looking. And, you know, it wouldn't be anything, you know, obviously I'm not a real estate agent, but if you wanted to do a little joint venture on it, and as long as you give me written permission to market, one of my buyers will probably pay me a fee to get a property, but, you know, I think it would probably be a better chance of finding a buyer quickly and more of a win-win if that's something you're interested in. But, you know, what do you think?
Well, I've never done one of these before, so I just kind of put $5,000 up as the down payment, just it seemed like the right number. I mean, what do you usually put up for your types of properties that fit the description?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if you go to our website now, you'll see houses up there. Usually, I advertise well, I'm asking about 2% down. Sometimes you can try it. You can get more. Other times, less. But I kind of figure that 2% figure is that, like, the happy medium between, you know, getting something decent down, but then also getting it sold quickly. But ultimately, if I've got a buyer who's pretty well qualified and they feel good about them, I might let them in with less. And so, you know what we should do, Chris? Are you going to be available tomorrow? I mean, maybe we can meet and take a look at the house. You want to grab coffee or something? It'd be good to talk to another investor anyway. And
yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Okay. Well, I can do that. I can bring some paperwork and everything, kind of show you, maybe give you some pointers on the rent to own. So, yeah, let's meet tomorrow at 2.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, with an investor, I'm almost more laid back, and I kind of, like, talk investor to investor, and I use the word joint venture, you know, more because, you know, I feel like that's more of a deal if you're talking with an investor and hey, yeah, you know what? I mean, I've got a lot of rent-to-own homes. I'd be happy to, if you can add the house to my inventory. Hey, Chris, I wouldn't even charge you for it. You know, I'd be willing to do it for free, you know, because I like you so much because you're a REAPS member, you know, and my buyer will probably pay me a fee, make it a win-win. You know, what do you think? So, I mean, that's probably kind of like how I approach it. You know, obviously you're still keeping the realm of, I try not to say I'll sell the house for you or anything. That's realtor speak. But that's, you know, that's what I did. I got another one this week that I'm going to be putting out. I think that REAPS members are probably going to be a really good source for JVing on rent to own. So I would, you know, if it's Thursday meeting, talk to people and see if they've got properties that they're looking to find tenant buyers for and offer them to joint venture with them.
All right. And as for the Thursday meetings, I'm kind of stuck on not being able to go to any of those this quarter because I have lab for chemistry at
bummer.
Every night until 8:30. So kind of missed out on those.
Well, if there's anything good happens, I'll let you know. Oh, by the way, on November 1st to the 3rd, I'm actually heading down to San Diego. Joel McCall and Todd Tobeck and Sean, what's his name? Sean Terry, sorry. They're having the Control Without Ownership Summit. I don't know if you've got emails about that.
I haven't even heard of them. Are they?
You haven't heard about those? Yes, you have.
Yeah.
So you know the option to lease option? I'm one of Joe McCall's students, so I bought his course.
Yeah, and you
so
mentioned
the paperwork I use is Joe's. And Todd Tobeck is he's an investor out of San Diego. He does a lot of options and wholesaling lease options. And then Sean Terry is a very successful investor out of Arizona and Phoenix area. And he does a ton of wholesaling. I mean he's a big time dude and he's buying a lot of property and flipping a lot of property down there. So they're having their first annual Control Without Ownership Summit, which is gonna be all about, you know, options and wholesaling lease options and now what they're like flipping leases. They call quick turn leasing. That's what they're calling it. So if you talk to sellers that have properties for rent, and you talk to them and say, hey, are you willing to do rent to own? If they say no, I just want to rent it. Well, what they're doing is they're getting properties under contract through an option to lease and assigning that, and you don't make a ton of money, but you make $500 to $1,000. So I'll learn a little bit about that too. So basically what I'm saying is I should have some good stuff to share when I come back.
Oh, that would be so awesome, Mike. That'd be great.
So,
Hey, I also wanted you to know that, you know, I had used the information from your original website, the property, and so I changed it in the, I put out another ad, and I did change it. So it's just now the 225, because it was 228,500, I believe, in your original. So
right,
I changed
right.
it to 225.
Okay. Well, and so, you know, I'm flexible and all that stuff.
If they came by and they called your number, you know, after they had talked to me and I already told them 228.5, I mean, I just didn't want it to be look weird, like you were saying.
Sure.
I want to keep it consistent. So I stayed with the 13, I think it was 13, or 1395, I think, or whatever it was, and but I just changed at least the purchase price because the $1,395 was kind of in the middle of what you had mentioned.
Right, right. Well, yeah, so I appreciate that. If anybody that that is interested and wants to take a look at the place, then just give me a call.
Okay, sounds great, Mike.
All right. I'll let you guys go tonight. So
okay.
good call today. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, hey, thanks so much.
All right.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.